Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host,
Vincent the Bane.
Vince in the Bay.
Vince in the Bay.
Hi there, honey. I'm number one.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Vince in the Bay.
Disorderly Conduct. Tonight is Sunday Mega Show. And it's Sunday, July 7th, 2013. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm very excited for tonight's show. Of course, I'm Vince. I'm your audio erotic host for the next 2 hours. I'm very, like I said, very excited about tonight's show. I kind of whipped it up last minute, but hopefully it'll be informative and fun. And for those of you who maybe hated my show on Friday, I think the people that hated my show on Friday are going to probably love this show, and vice versa. The people who loved the show on Friday are probably going to hate this show. So you can't please all the people all the time, but you can please half of them one time and the other half another time. Anyhow, I'm really excited to have the man behind the WikiLeaks truck, who's going to be joining me momentarily. His name is Clark, and I don't know if you folks are familiar with the WikiLeaks truck, but it first came to my attention, 2 years ago when they had the Occupy Wall Street thing started. And all the kids were camping down there, and out of nowhere, this big WikiLeaks truck just rolls through. I thought it was fucking hilarious, so brilliant. Oh, and the mastermind behind that is going to be here tonight with me momentarily to talk about WikiLeaks. I'm sorry to talk about Bradley Manning. Of course, the Bradley Manning child. All right, Vince, slow down, relax. Okay. So the Bradley Manning trial is essentially at the halfway point right now. The prosecutors and the court martial of Officer Manning rested their case on Tuesday after hearing testimony from nearly 80 witnesses in their attempt to convict him on nearly two dozen charges, including violation of the Espionage Act. Manning, a former Army intelligence analyst, isn't that what Snowden was? Anywho, he has acknowledged providing hundreds of thousands of sensitive diplomatic and military files to the anti-secrecy group WikiLeaks. The prosecution had sought to prove all of this, and in doing so, they were aware that they alleged that Al-Qaeda would see the material. Yeah, no shit. Yeah, whatever. If convicted on charges of violating the Espionage Act of aiding and abetting the enemy, Manning could face life in prison and has already entered a plea to lesser charges that carry a prison sentence of 20 years. So he's already pleaded guilty to charges that carry a sentence of, I suppose, up to 20 years. And now this coming week, starting tomorrow, the defense of Bradley Manning will commence. And this could get interesting. I don't know if Officer Manning is going to be taking the stand or not. But I'm really, really embarrassed to say that I really don't know much at all about the Bradley Manning case and the trial as far as details and where it's heading towards. I, like most folks, am preoccupied with where in the world is Snowden and the George Zimmerman trial. Yeah. Somehow this Bradley Manning trial has totally been blacked out by the media. They seem too preoccupied with this new whistleblower, while another whistleblower is being put on trial right now, and I find it very, very disturbing that this trial is not getting any exposure, especially since people were complaining for so long that he wasn't getting a fair and speedy trial. And now that the trial's here, nobody's fucking talking about it. And I'm hoping tonight we can start talking about it here and periodically come back to it till the end of the trial. This trial is supposed to last for another month or so. So hopefully tonight can be the beginning of a discussion about what Bradley Manning did or didn't do, and how he deserves to be handled, and whatever else, you know. Seriously, I mean, it's ridiculous. If mainstream media, I mean, even alternative news sites, you know, the new media is all but just ignoring this trial. And I don't care what your opinion is of what Bradley Manning did and whatnot. It's got to put up a red flag to anyone that this trial that was so sensationalized at first is just completely being swept under the rug. So I'm hoping my guest tonight, Clark, can help me get on the path to enlightenment in regards to this trial and what we can expect in the future. Again, he is the man behind the WikiLeaks truck. His Twitter is twitter.com/WikiLeaks truck. And he's going to be joining me here to talk about the trial. And of course, tomorrow morning, there is a weekly vigil outside the Fort Meade courthouse in which Manning's trial is being held. And of course, tomorrow's Monday, and it's also the beginning of the defense. So I would imagine it's going to be an extra special vigil, and Clark is going to fill us in on that and more. So without any further ado, I welcome to the show WikiLeaks Truck, a.k.a. Clark. What's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. I'm good. I'm so glad you're here. I took a lot of shit for having Adrian Lamo on my show on Friday and not bringing up Bradley Manning. Of course, that wasn't my doing. It was his request. So I feel not only obligated but compelled to do nothing but talk about Bradley Manning now, and I'm glad you're here with me. So before we totally jump into it, can you give us a brief little background on who you are and how you got to this point?
Well, I to this point, I have had this truck for 2.5 years almost, and I started driving around the White House and took it up to New York and drove around corporate and government buildings and took photos, and the truck served many functions and purposes through Occupy Wall Street and after. And starting 18, 19 months ago, started coming down to Bradley's trial, pre-trial hearings, actually. It started with a kind of like a grand jury hearing, which is the Article 32, and then went into pre-trial motion hearings, which included a speedy trial motion and unusual punishment prior to trial hearing, and now we're at the trial phase. We've been in the merits portion of the trial for a month now. The prosecution has presented their facts about the merits portion, which kind of is the bare bones details and facts. And now tomorrow morning, or actually this morning, over here in Maryland, it's going to be the defense's time to present their case. And so we're actually only halfway through the merits portion of the trial, due up in late July or early August. We're going to have the sentencing hearing as well, and I would bet my bottom dollar that there will be an appeal at some point. So, that's where we are now. This entire time, I've been coming to Fort Meade. I've been doing courtroom sketches, and I'm putting those together into a graphic novel to pretty much give a visual document with speech bubbles and the transcripts, just nuggets of the testimony and the discourse that goes on between the prosecution, the defense, and Judge Lynn. And, you know, he's been charged with 22 counts. He has pled to lesser-included charges of 10 specifications, which aren't like the entire law, but like certain parts of the law. I think that was really noble of him to do. He's a truth teller, and he told the truth, and he laid it all out for them, and prosecution wasn't happy with that. They wanted to go for more, so we're here. And you know, it looks like parts of the prosecution's case is falling apart, and other parts are you know, kind of remaining true, and those are the things that Bradley has already agreed to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's such a weird case. I made a lot of assumptions when it first happened. When it first broke. You know, these diplomatic cables. I haven't really, you know, paid attention to what their contents are exactly. You know, I see all these talking heads on the news saying, "Oh, you know, this stuff is going to compromise our you know, troops in the field and blah blah blah." And then I just the other day I was sort of skimming over articles about it, and he essentially just leaked diplomatic cables, so it wouldn't have been anything that, at least from what I'm assuming here, it wouldn't be anything that would compromise, say, you know, a battalion's position in Afghanistan or Iraq. It was more stuff like, hey, it looks like there's some unrest in Egypt, and looks like more Mubarak is going to fall. What should we do? You know, who do we want to see in there? Oh, what about his son? Yeah, his son seems like a good fit. Why not? It's just kind of like political diplomatic strategizing, if anything. Am I right on that?
We have not been seeing any proof of any harm done because of this. They have resorted to referring to it as potential harm, and this is 3 years later. So nothing was really pressing. What Bradley released were SIGACS cables, which stand for significant acts, and that's when anyone dies or gets wounded or anything blows up, really. Ain't big news of the day. And that was all historical information. What most people don't realize, because they haven't gone to WikiLeaks, is that information contains no identification whatsoever, except for numbers and locations. But these are locations where IEDs were planted. And you know, the terrorists know where they plant their bombs. It's really, we have to take a very realist point of view and look at, you know, what is the consequence of these leaks. And the consequence was we got out of Iraq, and we needed to years ago. It was a complete mistake to go in. Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11. He had no weapons of mass destruction. And we had long worn out our welcome. Eventually, I believe because of these leaks, lost our legal immunity in Iraq. And therefore, January 1st, 2012, we had to pull our troops out because we were committing war crimes, and we knew it, and everyone knew it because of this. You know, the Iraqi people knew war crimes were going on in their backyard every day. It was not news to them. It was news to the American public, and a lot of the American public refuses to pay attention and notice what's right here in front of us, mirrored on thousands of websites. And so,
right.
You know, ignorance is bliss, and most Americans choose that bliss, and so they spew misinformation. you know, what I find very interesting is Fox News was the first to call for Bradley's death. And I haven't seen them here at this trial. I've been a credentialed journalist for, you know, almost 2 years now. And, you know, I see who comes there. It took New York Times a year to show up. It wasn't until I trolled them and lawyers called them out. And then finally, it was not until Margaret Sullivan, the public editor, wrote an op-ed saying, we dropped the ball, we missed the boat. You know, and even then, they sent, you know, a couple of reporters a few times. Charlie Savage and Scott Shane. And they skipped out before lunch, and they got things wrong. You know, there's been a handful of true journalists here, and none of them work for anyone that is big except for David Dashnell of AP. And you know, I'm really proud that he is stuck to being at Bradley's trial every day. The independent journalists include Alexa O'Brien, who is, you know, our number one resource. She's an investigator, and she has been a transcriber, and she has also organized all of the information that is public on her website and through searchable database. There's Nathan Fuller of the Bradley Manning Support Network, who is by far one of the most genuine people I've ever met, and he started by writing an article in his college newspaper, and it got retweeted by WikiLeaks, and ever since then he's been extremely devoted to creating quick news that is pretty objective for an activist website, and you know, he's amazing. He's the youngest person in the press room, and I have to give him a lot of credit. There's also Kevin Gastol with Fire Dog Lake. I never heard of Fire Dog Lake until Bradley Manning, so it was, you know, it's one of my go-to sources for information when I need to check facts. And then also Adam Klasfeld, who works for Courthouse News, which is a newswire that gets the story out pretty good. I like his writing because it's written as though it's written by a playwright, and so Adam has a great sense.
Who is that
Adam
again?
Klasfeld.
Adam
Klasfeld.
Adam
Klasfeld. Yeah. He's One Armed Man Inc. on Twitter, and Adam Klasfeld.
You'll have to tweet me his his handle.
Right now.
Cool.
So and he's great too. And then there have been others that have come through and are not there every day. Ed Pilkington from The Guardian, Al Jazeera, RT has been really good about sending somebody. Either Liz Wall or my compadre Andrew Panda Blake.
Oh, what a dickhead, that guy.
Yeah, he's a real. But he knows it, you know.
How can you put up with that guy?
Kind of
what's great is
he brings donuts.
I can just hang up on him when he calls me. If you're stuck with him, you have to deal with that.
I once tied him up with duct tape. He came over to my house one time, and I just got out a roll of duct tape and tied him to a column, wrapped him up, and then tweeted pictures of it. He had it coming.
Right on. I'm hoping he's going to call in maybe tonight. I don't know. He mentioned it.
I'll probably have to hang up then.
Yeah, me too.
Because I want to be the first one in line in the morning because, you know, it's...
Oh, yeah.
You know, I drive the truck on to Fort Meade base every day now. And
are you, like, friendly with the guards and everything now?
You know, I think people with a sense of humor get it, and people who don't have a sense of humor don't. And, you know, the best example of that is Halloween, October, 2011. I went down to Zuccotti Park dressed as a NYPD officer with a Guy Fawkes mask on. And I divided the cops and the protesters into two groups, those who had a sense of humor and those who didn't. And the protesters who didn't have a sense of humor went to the cops and got them to confront me. And so four cops come into the middle of the park, and they come up to me. And the two in the front are dead serious, and the two behind them are just laughing their pants off. And, you know, so we went out and talked, and my lawyer was there, so he spoke for me. I didn't have to actually speak in any way. And it really kind of got people to break down into two groups despite whatever they were wearing or who they worked for, but into whether you have a sense of humor or you don't. And I like to bring that up.
And that's sketchy, too, because they could technically try to get you on impersonating a police officer, right?
Right, but it was Halloween, so...
I know. You're kind of safe because it's Halloween, but why wouldn't you be safe any other day? Why is it okay on Halloween, but not another day?
I don't know about any other city, but New York, I think there's they have to respect the pagans as well. And
they mentioned that there is in fact an old city ordinance against people congregating in public wearing masks. And it goes back
That is suspended on Halloween. That law is also suspended on Halloween.
Well, that's cool, man. That's cool. It's funny. You know, when they had the Operation BART protests out here, I participated a couple of times, and it's kind of the way that you describe the truck. People's reaction to the truck was the same way I saw people reacting to me wearing a mask walking down the street. It seemed like adults and cops felt intimidated by it, were confused, were kind of on guard. And then you'd have kids, I'd walk by kids, and the kids would be like, oh, look, and they like loved it, you know? And it's kind of, to me, that's kind of a microcosm of like where we at just in fucking society. There are people that are kind of totally out of touch with what's going on in the world and with the youth and whatnot. And then you have the people that are kind of, I guess, in on the joke that sort of ridicule these people rather than trying to welcome them in and make amends and try to bridge the gap, you know?
Well, I think worldwide everyone needs to just chill the fuck out. I can cuss, right?
You're actually required to.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, you haven't been doing enough of it, so you need to catch up.
All right. Well, I can hand you over to my brother Carl.
Why? Does he have a potty mouth?
Hey, this is Carl right here. How's it going? God damn it, we're on the radio?
Yeah, Carl, you're on the radio.
Oh, hey, how's it going? So I'm the one who drives the truck. Clark over there, he's usually the one that does the press and all the twittering. But every now and again, he lets me do the twittering, and I like to troll these anti-Manning motherfuckers.
Yeah. You know what? I noticed just before we got on the air, there was some dude named Todd that was giving you guys some guff. What was that all about?
Todd's a troll. He's a goddamn troll. That's all I can say for the Air Force. You know, it's sad to see conservatives like him. You know, I'm a conservative. My brother Clark, he's a liberal, but. You know, you don't have to be liberal or conservative to appreciate Bradley Manning. You just have to have respect for the truth and the Constitution. So just remember that.
Oh, dude, I totally have respect for the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. I actually read the Declaration of Independence the other day on my show. Have you ever read it?
Well, let me tell you something that the great Daniel Ellsberg once told me, and that's that all this nation was founded by all traitors. And he's right. And if you look at it, I think the boy who's got the biggest balls in the fucking army is Bradley Manning. So, you know, and Ethan McCord would agree with me. Ethan McCord was in the Claddle murder video.
Hey, Carl.
Boy, yep. You want to talk to Clark again?
Yeah. Can we put Clark back on?
Okay. Hold on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. How's it going?
Dude, your brother's an idiot, bro. Don't ever put him on
well,
again.
He drives the truck. He's the one who's licensed.
Yeah, keep it that way. Just let him drive.
Right. Yeah. So I'm always working in the back with my satellite dish, keeping an eye on the live feeds and recording as much information that I can while I'm on NSA's base, basically.
Another thing I'm curious about. Have you ever gotten pulled over in that thing? And if so, like, what do cops say?
Well, see, Carl usually has to deal with the cops, and
sometimes that's Carl's question.
Yeah, but
right.
You know,
ahead,
I can tell you what. You know, I shoot the video of Carl getting pulled over. So, there you have it.
Right on. No, seriously though, have you been pulled over?
Not lately, but mostly my troubles were when the car is parked. That's what drives them nuts. They prefer that I keep moving. The cops are really into me just like moving along, getting away from them. So, but it's usually when it's parked, then they like to approach it. And so, my first day driving, I was parked on like 18th Street, and Secret Service just got all over the truck. And
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
And then Occupy, the cops, towed it away twice on the 1 month and 2 month anniversary of the beginning of Occupy. And, I've had various interactions. I also have had interactions with the police just, without the truck. So I'm, constant, mostly just for photographing cops. They don't like that too much. That's our constitutional right.
I'm just imagining some, like, hillbilly highway patrolman out in the middle of nowhere setting up a speed trap. And just watching the highway, and all of a sudden the WikiLeaks truck goes by. Jesus Christ! Did you see that? It's goddamn WikiLeaks. We got him, baby.
Right. So that's why Carl drives the truck.
Julian Assange is right here, fellas. Let's get him.
Yep. No, that's why Carl drives the truck. Carl talks some sense into him. Carl actually talks to them, he's really good at talking to cops because he actually, convinces them and informs them about WikiLeaks and Bradley Manning to the point where they're, like, pretty pissed at the government.
Yeah.
Times, they're just too thick-headed. So.
Right. Are you one of those fuck-the-police people?
I like to have fun with them. Well, I got arrested by Secret Service. As soon as they got in the car and we're driving away, I leaned forward and I said, "You guys have to know this has got to be the coolest thing that's ever happened to me." And that really, that broke them down immediately. They like lost. They had no longer had an edge at that point.
I'd be the same way. I'd be like, "Fuck, dude, Secret Service, this is badass."
Right. I told them it was going to look great in the movie, and they, they were just really confused. And I, when you get arrested. I think we no longer have the right to remain silent. I believe the Supreme Court has overturned that. So I suggest you ask as many questions as possible and start interrogating the police immediately before they start interrogating you. Secondly, tell jokes. As many jokes as you can get out and before they, like, you know, you got to tell them as many jokes as possible. Really will speed things up. And you know, that's essentially what I tend to do. I test out material on them. And they're pretty honest about it. So
it sounds like you have a little bit of a prankster inside of you. You're a little bit of a prankster.
Well, yeah, I would you know, qualify that as a correct answer.
Okay.
See, now I'm starting to sound like Adrian.
No,
he answers questions a little funny. He's got a way of answering questions, but you know, he pads around the questions. But he answered all of David Coombs' questions on the second day of the trial, yes or no, and they were pretty much all yeses. No's to did Manning profess anything that hatred towards the United States? No. Did he, did you think that he was doing this to, hurt the country? And no. And so, Lamo, I think, really kind of helped out Bradley's case this time. Lamo testified in the Article 32 18 months ago, and Coombs kind of went after him on him as a witness. And, kind of really tackled some questions about, who he was. And this time, he didn't come out punching. And it was a really good strategy to just keep things nice and level and professional. And I think that, for the most part, the back and forth between David Coombs and Lamo really helped out Bradley. The prosecution's direct with Lamo was almost similar to the defense's cross 18 months ago. The prosecution really kind of hammered in his history and that was kind of what they had to do to qualify him as an expert witness. But to do that, they kind of had to show his criminal past to Denise Lynn, who was not there 18 months ago. We had an investigating officer for the 6-5-6 day Article 32. So this is the first time she'd seen Lamo. It was because the truth is that Bradley isn't a spy. He's not a hacker. He's a whistleblower, a leaker. But Bradley, the evidence has shown, but never did anything, broke any kind of passwords to get anything. He had all authorization to leak what he had. And, we've got some crazy interpretations of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act laws. And I've seen this
tell
going
me about
on
it.
Simultaneously with, Andrew Arnheimer and Weave.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with Weave? So he, and then you see this going on with, there are eight whistleblowers right now. They're being prosecuted under Barack Obama's administration. That's why I say, Carl says that this is not a conservative or liberal issue at all. And I think he was serious about that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with him. I think this is this is not a partisan thing.
Right.
What I'm curious about is the interpretation of the Espionage Act. Now, this act is all predicated on the fact that we are at war with another country, that we have declared war and have a declared enemy. And as I understand, the last time that this law could actually be broken at all was during World War II, because all of the conflicts we've been engaged in since have not been fully ratified by Congress. They haven't officially declared war. Since there has not been an official war declared in the United States since World War II. So technically,
we just call them operations.
Yeah.
But culturally, they become, you know, referred to as wars. You know, they shouldn't be called wars because it was asymmetrical warfare, and that's the nicest way we could say it for the government. But what it was just complete bullying for resources, and it was, we need to end all wars on, essentially all wars, but essentially, this was a war on resources, and we need to stop that soon, or this world is going to collapse. It like literally collapse, on itself. And, we need a total cultural mind shift. This trial is an assault on intelligence. And not just, I'm saying that because he's an intelligence analyst. This is a dumbing down of America right here. And this is a milestone in dumbing down America. And this is not just on our intelligence, but our conscience as well, because our moral fiber is really residing in this trial. Bradley has been nominated for three times for a Nobel Peace Prize, so if he gets anything more than 20 years, which is the maximum that he's pled to, the maximum that he could get. We are really saying that we're not listening to what the rest of the world is telling us. And, I think this being the third time's a charm, Bradley quite possibly is going to win this Nobel Peace Prize this year. And if that's after he's been sentenced but before an appeal, I think, the next level needs to really, really think about how that looks. And if the Army was smart, if they really were smart about this, if Obama was smart about this, he would have dropped this 2 years ago. Like, really let it fizzle out, because, it was embarrassing. And the longer that Bradley Manning stays in jail, the longer this is a black eye on our moral fiber in America,
mm-hmm.
and our intelligence. And,
I tend to agree with you. What really bothers me is what I've been hearing about how he has been handled pre-trial. I understand that was he in solitary for a good deal of time? Am I mistaken about that?
He was in pretty similar to solitary confinement conditions. He was completely separated. He had 20 minutes of sunlight. Sometimes he didn't get that. He was naked at night. They took away his glasses. And it was clear that he was not a suicide risk, but he was on suicide risk essentially more than any other pretrial detainee has ever been. He's been treated very similar to Guantanamo prisoners.
It almost sounds like Guantanamo prisoners got to have it better than him.
Well, that has been discussed in the Article 13 hearing, the pretrial punishment hearing. At times they clearly got it better. He was at the Quantico Marine Brig for much longer than anyone else has ever been, on this, very separated prevention of injury and suicide risk statuses. And, you know, yeah, it was near torture. And, many would classify it as torture. I would say that, he wasn't beaten, but his living conditions were deplorable. He was not getting, the right amount of sunlight, being allowed to walk around, exercise.
That's ridiculous. That's no way. Yeah. I mean, this country is built on laws that say you are guilty, you're innocent until proven guilty. And it seems like, like somewhere along the line that got switched. This is no way to treat somebody. I don't care what he's alleged to have done. That's just no way to treat somebody who's, who's entitled to due process. And it's certainly not a way to treat a soldier until, I understand he's up for treason or espionage or whatever. But still, I think there should be some form of honor upheld until he is proven guilty. That bothers me about a lot of these cases with outside of Manning, these activists like Hammond and Barrett Brown and Wormer and all these folks who are getting and Weave, people that they treat them like they're fucking mass murderers, like it's like Silence of the Lambs or something. These aren't Hannibal Lecters, but for some reason they get treated like that.
Well, Bradley talks about the bloodlust that the Apache helicopter gunners and pilots had in the Collateral Murder video. And so they're flying around Baghdad, kind of just shooting down people and civilians, two Reuters journalists, and then shot down the people who stopped by, the Good Samaritans, who came and picked them up. And, these guys were talking very candidly because they never thought that video would ever be released. It might be viewed, but not by the general public. So they're very free to say whatever they wanted. And one of the things that was said was, "God damn it, Kyle." And a gunner responds. He says, "I hit him, ha, ha, ha." And,
it's like a fucking game, people.
A FOIA search would show that there's only one Kyle in that battalion, July 12, 2007. His name's Kyle Kittleson, KyleKittelson. And he lives in and around Austin, Texas. And there's three other guys, another gunner and two pilots. And, it makes me wonder, where are our morals when we allow that to happen?
Yeah, where's their trial? They're not getting prosecuted at all?
No.
Not even an investigation?
I think we would have heard about it by now.
Yeah, me too.
The government immediately said that they followed the rules of engagement, but I've got the rules of engagement right here. And you cannot be firing on, rescue workers. They viewed everyone as a potential terrorist. And that wasn't what we went in there to do. And, by 2007, that war had gotten, the engagement was a mess. And we didn't know who our enemies were. They were the people that just wanted the U.S. bully out of their country already. But, let's be honest, we lost, 5,000 soldiers. Many of them were lost in friendly fire and dust storms and a lot of different things, and many of them wounded. But there were over a million Iraqis killed since we invaded in March 2003. And you can say all the bad things you want about Saddam Hussein. Sure, he was, he's as fascist as any other president or leader of a country. He he was not our problem. He was not a threat to the United States. And George Washington told us to defend this country and not to go on the offensive. And that's what we were doing. It was preemptive. It was preemptive of something that was never going to happen. It was essentially revenge by Bush Jr. And it was a complete mistake. We would have had Bin Laden a long time ago if we had not gone into Iraq. There was, you know, our intelligence, and this is the assault on intelligence. You know, the assault on Valerie Plame is because, you know, we can't handle the truth, right? You know, and so we go after this, right? You know, Bradley shouldn't get a day longer than Scooter Libby got. And that's for damn sure because, you know, I know who Valerie Plame is. I haven't heard of a single CIA agent who was outed by Bradley Manning's leaks. And this needs to be the comparison, all right? Because what Bradley leaked should have been public knowledge. It should have been accessible to any journalist who wanted to find it. It should have been accessible with a FOIA request. And Reuters put in that FOIA request, and Bradley knew it. The CD was labeled FOIA request for Reuters. And the government's like, well, we don't know what Bradley knew. Well, you know, the goofball prosecutors that they've got running over there at Fort George Orwell Mead or whatever, it's getting pretty ridiculous. And their case is you know, I can't say game more. It's like a clown act. It's one hell of a show trial. It's a circus. And they've got a whole team of now, I believe, six prosecutors have been working on this, not to mention Captain Haberland, who worked on the case for, shortly after Bradley's arrest, right up until his first pretrial Article 32 hearing. And Haberland was the legal subject matter expert for the journalist for about 6 months of the pretrial and never had ever identified himself as being part of the prosecution team. Not once. And you know how we found out about it? Because it came up in the pretrial punishment hearing testimony. And Adam Klasfeld and I, a few others, like Haberland, I wonder if that's the same Haberland that was, and sure it was. And that's when, you know, they had a little, you know, the new military legal expert came in and had a little, you know, mud on his face. You know, he was like, that's the same guy. And one member of the press spoke up and said, you know, don't you think that's important that we should have known that? And he kind of agreed. We talk about this media blackout. There's been some weird things that have gone on. I've witnessed as being a journalist. And mind you, I'm a sketch artist, so I'm not working with words, but, I've seen some weird things going on with how they set up the media room and how information was given to us and they have their propaganda guy and he kind of answers he's a military kind of spokesman guy and the fact that we had to sue to get filings for this. Most people don't realize the CCR filed a complaint with like 30-some different news organizations behind it, and we said, hey, you've got to make this a more transparent trial. I mean, Jesus Christ, this is a trial about transparency. And so slowly but surely, they've been releasing documents into a FOIA reading room. But we should have transcripts. Those should be available to us. So, you know, Alex O'Brien was doing that the best durability up until this point, until the trial started. And we luckily were able to get the a new organization started called the Freedom of the Press Foundation, and they raised a lot of money to get money to WikiLeaks and other news and investigative journalist websites like it, and now a stenographer. And so we've got the stenographer shows up. There's about four different ones that come in, usually for a half a day, and within 10 hours or less, there's very awesome transcripts just ready to go, and people need to be following up on this because so much is at stake with this trial. Not just, I believe, within the military, but for all journalism. This trial against Bradley is just the first phase of them going after WikiLeaks. And one of the best things that Bradley did was in his provenance inquiry, he took all the responsibility for what he did. And he was not coerced. He was acting on his conscience. I think that's a lot better than the argument that there's potential harm. When I looked at these cables, you look at the State Department cables, and that's a joke. I mean, that clearly was not something that harmed us in any way. What it did was kind of made issues going on in the world apparent to these people in different countries. And that was for those countries to deal with. Bradley also released information about Guantanamo prisoners. And, there's 150 of them on hunger strike, and many of them are innocent. And it's proven in these documents. And they've gone uncharged. And, like many of us, Bradley believed what Obama said. We believed when he said he would protect whistleblowers. We believed him when he said that he would close Guantanamo. And he has failed in both of those promises.
He has failed on so many levels. It's disgusting. I want to switch gears really quick and talk about the upcoming defense of Bradley Manning. There's this piece that came out in the New York Daily News where they're saying that the defense for Manning is going to try to paint him as a naive, well-intentioned 25-year-old who wanted to alert Americans to the realities of Afghanistan and Iraq.
22 then.
Do you think that's a fair assessment? Do you think he was really naive to the laws that he was going to break?
I believe David Coombs put it that he was naive to believe that it would change the world. And I would debate that Bradley did change the world. But that was not what the government wants to hear. This trial is resting on a whistleblower defense that can't be pitched as a whistleblower defense. It has to be, he can't use that defense. But I think the facts and the evidence, Lamo's chats, prove that he wasn't, A, trying to make money, B, was not trying to harm anyone. I'm waiting for the time when, somebody can show me a bit of proof that somebody got harmed. I've interviewed people who've been mentioned in the State Department cables, and they are not mad about this. you know, I'm really surprised. You know, they were glad to know that they're all foreigners. They're not Americans, but they were, you know, something a government was looking at. You know, Mubarak, for example, was targeting a certain group of activists, and we knew about it. And now it was proof for them to know about it. And it was a good thing because, you know, several of these activists were protected by the United States. And it was, you know, their attention was brought to it. But we have not seen any evidence whatsoever of any U.S. troop harm in either Afghanistan or Iraq. We were embarrassed. Our State Department was embarrassed, and Hillary Clinton had to go around and actually meet with countries that exist and, you know, but say that it won't happen again. And, you know, but I think that's a small price to pay for, you know, I believe Arab Spring, which is still going on, is a revolution that needed to happen. And,
oh, I think that Arab Spring is going to continue forever. I'm pretty sure Egypt's going to have a revolution every 2 years. Wouldn't that be cool to be in a country that, instead of just celebrating a revolution from 200 years ago, you actually have a revolution every year?
They don't have a lot of sporting events. They need more sporting events. That's what really...
Oh, absolutely. Those guys need to work out some aggression,
like,
man. They're out there gang raping reporters and shit. It's terrible. Speaking of gang rape,
I mean, the worst riots that go on in the United States are after, you know, the NBA finals or, you know, it depends on the game, but yeah. You're in Oakland. You've been to an Oakland Raiders game, right?
They come standard. There's always brawls at Raider games. I mean, people get shot, stabbed. Yeah, God forbid they act to the Super Bowl and win. Yeah, I don't know what's scarier. Raiders go to the Super Bowl and win, or if they go to the Super Bowl and lose. The city's going to burn either way. And even San Francisco.
Right. Louisville, Kentucky went crazy after they won the NCAA championship. There was rioting there. It's not the peaceful protesters, the occupiers, or you know, it's sports fans, you know.
Yeah, and get ready. As somebody mentioned in the chat room, George Zimmerman. Yeah, when that trial ends, get ready for riots then too.
Who?
Exactly. I have a friend of yours on the line that wants to come on and say hi. Are you up for taking a few calls here?
Is it Todd?
No, I'm sorry.
Come on, Todd.
I wish Todd. If people want to put the word out to Todd to call in, give him the phone number or whatever. I'd be happy to have Todd on the show. But no, this is Assert MacFags. Welcome, Assert.
Ooh.
Hi, Clark. What's up?
Hey, Jamie. How's it going? Oh, can I call you Jamie? Oh shit, I did already.
She doesn't care. She doesn't care.
I'm fantastically doxed as it is.
Okay.
So, no big deal.
Nobody knows that you're also O'Bears, right?
Yeah. Nobody knows my old handles or anything like that.
Right. I'm always
son
the
of
last,
a bitch.
No. Are you?
It wasn't my Twitter handle for like ever.
Did I hear that you're
like
part
that.
Of a Russell Leaks?
Russell Leaks is yet to be established. But, I mean,
we've
played with the idea. I'm part of the Russell League. But Russell Leaks, we've played with the idea. We haven't really gotten there.
They also have a Russian League, the Russian version of Russell League.
It was short-lived. I think...
Oh, no, it's still going. Anna Chapman is active. She's trying to court Edward Snowden. Did you see that she proposed to him on Twitter?
Yeah, Snowden responded, actually. I think he's cheating on Lindsay, his stripper girlfriend, which is totally totally out of character for him.
Going? Oh, Jesus.
I mean, Anna Chapman is gorgeous, so I can understand why he'd want to, like, cheat on Lindsay with Anna. Like, come on now.
So, Assert, what's your friends with Mr. WikiLeaks truck here? How do you feel about what he's got to say tonight and what he's all about?
I really don't like Clark at all. He's a total jerk. No, I'm just kidding. I met Clark like last year in Philadelphia.
Right about this time.
Huh?
Yeah, it was right about this time, right?
About this time in Philly. Totally awesome guy. We had so much fun for like a week straight. He and a bunch of other people. It was great. And then I saw him again before Weave's trial. We parted down. And
Newark.
In fucking Newark, where everything is, what, Brazilian?
Yeah, pretty much.
All the Brazilian pizza you can eat, which was fantastic.
Comes with corn.
I don't know. I mean, I really enjoyed, like, the mobile trolling unit that is the WikiLeaks truck. I thought it was brilliant the first time I saw it. I couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, my God, yes. That was epic.
And then we actually stayed on the Quaker compound in the parking lot. And I remember going and opening up the drawer and his filing cabinet in the back of the truck and just bottles of wine.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry,
we had
if
a
I'm
good
like
time.
Popping the troll here.
Oh, no, that's fine. We turned that into sangria, and it was quite refreshing on a very hot Occupy National Gathering.
It was totally delicious and refreshing.
We iced it down enough so that it went a long way. So.
Yeah, we put some Sprite in there.
I've been really sober this summer. I've been, this trial's been...
That's
been,
unfortunate.
Well, it's all right. I think I'll... I might sneak a weekend at Burning Man if the trial ends early.
Dude, you're coming out to Burning Man?
It might be. It's always on the calendar.
Hey, if the WikiLeaks truck is ever in the Bay, please let me know.
Would the WikiLeaks truck even make it that far?
I would go undercover to Burning Man. Yeah, I'm
no, I'm not suggesting you. Well, whatever. If you end up in the Bay, you definitely got to give me a ring-a-ding.
Well, we might rent a... rent the truck.
If you want to have Vince's number, I can give it to you.
Anybody
wants
to have pictures on it.
Just ask Russell League. Russell League has my contact info. We'll get in touch that way.
I went in 2009, 2010, back when it was still cool. It's not cool anymore.
Dude, I never thought it was cool.
Yeah, it's run its course.
I've never gone to Burning Man. I always thought it was...
You got to go
to
fish festivals only.
Oh, Jesus.
That's all I do.
You know what?
Oh,
you know what,
yeah.
You know what's what I hate?
I go to fish shows. I'm hunting down Commander Axe on fish tour right now.
When we get married, I'm taking you out to Burning Man.
Okay, I had to mute Assert because of course, you won't let me talk on my own show. and I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, what I hate... What I hate is the obnoxious people that come back from Burning Man and refuse to wash their cars as like some sort of badge of you know, the ultimate hipster honor. Hey, I was at the burn, dude. I'm not going to wash my car ever, cause just so everybody can tell I was at the burn.
I've never washed the WikiLeaks truck. I don't want to, I've cleaned up a couple pieces of graffiti, but I won't wash it. It's You know, it's got the good luck grease on it.
Shag it.
I love it, too. Jamie.
Vince, I hear you're pretty fucking pissed off. Especially
yeah.
this morning.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, last night you were pissed off, but I mean, even more so this morning.
I'm livid. I'm totally livid.
Was it because I released your Twitter ID?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Your Twitter ID number?
Yeah. My Twitter ID number's out there now.
I think it's like 714. Let me pull it up. I forget.
Okay. Let's take another call. Let's see what Danny has for us. Danny Italian, welcome to the show. You're on with Clark. I'm sorry, guys. I can't tolerate the soundboards.
That was great. That was exactly what the show was missing.
Call right in, 415-548-3808.
That's not the number. The number is 347-826-7667.
Can you play the George Carlin clip? You're
absolutely.
Gonna play that, right?
Absolutely. Let's do that right now. I'm gonna play your request of this is a dedication to the dude Todd that's trolling you.
Todd Sheev.
What's his deal? What the hell's his problem?
Yeah, I tried to call in as Todd's girlfriend, and Vince found out it was me like right away.
I tried to troll,
but
we
no
know that Todd
Sheev
doesn't have a girlfriend.
Yeah, of course.
That wouldn't be believable in the first place. So, okay, what does George Carlin say about Todd? That's what I want to know.
And I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd. You know, yeah, it's just a goofy fucking name, okay? Hi, what's your name? Todd.
How about
I'm
guys
Todd. And this is Blake and Blair and Blaine and Brent. Where are all these goofy fucking boys' names coming from? Taylor, Tyler, Jordan, Flynn. These are not real names. You want to hear a real name? Eddie. Eddie is a real name. Whatever happened to Eddie? He was here a minute ago. Joey and Jackie and Johnny and Phil, Bobby and Tommy and Danny and Bill. What happened? Todd. And Cody and Dylan and Cameron and Tucker. Hi, Tucker. I'm Todd.
Hi, Todd. I'm Tucker.
Fuck Tucker. Tucker sucks. And fuck Tucker's friend, Kyle. Yeah. There's another soft name for a boy, Kyle. Soft names make soft people. I'll bet you anything that 10 times out of 10, Nikki, Vinny, and Tony will beat the shit out of Todd, Kyle, and Tucker.
That's right. That's right. Nikki, Vinny, and Tony. That's right. Yeah. We're gonna beat the shit out of you.
Hey, Vince.
Hey.
Can't mute me. Vince,
I'm muting you.
I thought Sarah Joffrey was going to... Jeffrey, Sarah, who's that? She's some waspy girl I've heard of.
Oh, the wasp chick.
Yeah. I thought she was going to call in. What happened?
From Iran?
Yeah, she's hanging out with Mr. Blake.
Yeah, dude, let's hit them up. Let's tell them to call in. They might be on the board. I don't know. There's a few people holding. Let's see who we got here. Caller, unscreened. You're unscreened. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hello?
Hi, that's you. Welcome to the show. Who are you and what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to talk about the government and the government's conspiracy theories because, I mean, you know, it goes beyond a conspiracy, okay? It's way bigger than a conspiracy, okay? It's so much bigger, okay? The government...
That sounds like every guy who ever approaches me while I'm at a red light and wants to talk. Okay,
when you're in the truck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
but continue on.
So you can
I
listen
like
to this. You can feel
you
this.
Yeah.
I'm used to this.
Yeah. All right.
I'm
okay.
Listening.
Okay. We all know that the government established this moon base in the 50s. We all know that. Okay. We all know that. What we didn't know is that they've been digging for artifacts. Okay? Like not even recently, they've been digging for artifacts that have been placed there by the Beta Centaurians, like, thousands of years ago. And the reason why we're doing that is because the Andromedans, the Greys, you know, like the little Grey aliens, they've been giving artifacts to the Chinese. They've been doing that since the 70s.
Since the 70s.
I remember the 70s. I get flashbacks from Nam all the time, bro.
North Korea, okay? North Korea, the reason they're not doing, they're not threatening us with nuclear, I mean, they're threatening us with nuclear stuff, but the reason why they're doing it is to cover up the fact that they're actually trying to build spaceships right now so that they can come and collect some of the artifacts that we, the American government, are currently mining right now. We are mining on the moon to get these artifacts, okay?
Release the documents, the UFO documents that no one is talking about. If you go to thecrackle.su and read about the UFO documents, you will know that the NSA is absolutely 100% hiding information from the American people about UFOs and about SORON, which is the UFO project that is spying on the entire world, the surface area of the world.
It's
and
true.
You don't know this
it's
because
true. No, she's right. She's
only,
right.
It's only on small news outlets like the Chronicle.su.
Yeah, she's right. She's right. I can corroborate. I was in fact abducted by aliens. This was also reported in the Chronicle.su.
Yeah.
And I can verify everything she's saying. It's totally true.
I'm always the last to find out.
Yeah. Well, you just found out here.
Is that right, Jamie?
I don't know. Yeah. Are you?
Okay. Yep. Let's bring on another caller here. This is Ghost True Capitalist Radio. Ghost, you're on.
What's going on?
What? Huh?
Hello?
What?
Hello?
Hey,
hello?
Ghost. What's going on?
Hi, Ghost.
Yeah.
What's on your mind tonight, Ghost?
Of the capitalist army. I heard that somebody over there at this number doesn't like capitalism.
What's capitalism?
You see what you get when you try to be a nice guy?
Jamie.
This is what you get. Substandard help.
Anything else goes.
I can smell you from here, you skankosaurus. You don't even douche, do you? Am I right? Come on, you smell like bad tuna. Am I right?
I showered today, so, I mean, I smell like vegan stuff.
Stop eating, you fat bitch. Stop eating.
All right, stop.
I know.
Stop
so
insulting
fat.
My guests.
God.
Okay, I apologize.
All right, next. Who's next?
That was
so
that was some asshole. That was some asshole who was using sound
okay.
bites of Ghost.
Just
all right,
because
here
I hate capitalism.
No, it's cool. It's cool. We got a ton of callers. Let's burn through these calls and see what these people want.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with Nigger Christ. Nigger Christ, what's up? You're on with
yes.
Clark and Asser.
He's my favorite Christ, actually.
I love Gucci.
not much,
what
bro.
What up, Nigger Christ?
How it goes. You've been listening.
Been
you know what it is.
Yeah, man.
Yo, NC, I've been seeing you fucking raging on some fake-ass bitches on Twitter.
Yeah, I just got done with this big-ass rant. I started calling out these anonymous pussies, then I wound up getting into shit like the whole anti-bully thing. I got in a lot of trolling, and I wound up at race relations in the end somehow. I don't even know how I got there.
It's highly entertaining watching you battle, you know, fake-ass rapper bitches on Twitters.
Oh, yeah, that's right, pussy from earlier. He still never fired back.
Dude, no one wants to battle you. Like, I don't get it. Like,
yeah, last thing he said, he was saying some shit about how I deleted some tweets or something. I fired back saying I didn't do that. Then he's just ignoring me. What a pussy.
Damn.
Who are we talking about?
You're never going to get to rap battle anyone.
Oh.
Damn shame.
All right, so I want to keep N-word Christ on the line, but can we let's burn through some more callers.
Who's N-word Christ? Who the fuck is this boy?
Paul Renzi. That works too.
I just found out who Paula Deen is.
Paula Deen was supposed to be on Muscle League Radio last night, and
you don't be saying the N word. You can just say N C. You don't gotta go all African American savior or some shit like that.
No, I just all right, N C is good.
African American savior.
All right, who's next?
Keith
is great. People coming, but keep NC on the line. Come on, Vince.
I don't think Vince is even here. I think he's screening calls.
Yeah,
come on,
I am. I was.
It's
my
Pod.
Bad. Sorry.
Where's Pod?
Sorry.
We've got. I'm ready
for Todd.
You need Todd? Todd is not. You know what? To check. Todd is not here. But don't worry. We got plenty of people. I think we've got people that are better than Todd.
Keep them coming.
Okay. First of all,
speed dating. We got to go get through them.
Okay. All right. Fine. Here it is.
Inward
Wasp.
Christ, baby.
Wasp, you're on with Clark, Assert, and Nigger Christ. What's up, Wasp?
Hi, guys.
How's it going?
Wasp. So, Clark, we drove in 6 hours, a lot of traffic, with no air conditioning whatsoever.
Yeah.
Just saying.
My truck doesn't have AC either, and it goes a hell of a lot slower than whatever you were doing. I'm the slowest guy on the road, always. I like to be really slow so you can get a photo.
That's
right, who's next?
I'm just saying.
Keep her on the line.
He came from New
York. How many people can we have on the line?
Yeah, no, Wasp joins our panel.
Russell Leaks has launched.
No,
Russell Leaks is a thing now.
Okay.
Russell League is always a thing.
You.
I'm sorry.
All right.
More
so, calls. Why'd you come down from New York? What's going on?
Okay, We came down from New York, to come to the trial tomorrow. The defense guarded thing, and we're going to come to the vigil at first, and then we're going to come to court.
What time is the vigil?
The link to the vigil. Visual. Give me some visual. Can somebody link the link to the vigil? I think it's on
BradleyManning.org.
BradleyManning.org.
You'll find it.
I think that's pretty easy to remember. I think even a Jew or a Gentile could equally put that out.
Or a wasp.
Can I say one more thing?
What?
Yeah.
So, sorry, Clark, I didn't have your size, but for Alexa, I brought one of those pretty white and pink Free Bradley t-shirts from the parade at New York.
Oh, she always gets the nice things.
I'm sorry, but you're a big dude, man.
Yeah.
Are you a big dude?
I'm about 325, 330.
No shit.
He's
really?
Huge. What?
I've never seen a picture of this.
I've put on another 50 pounds since I've been down here. This southern fried chicken is so good.
How tall are you?
Royal Farms.
How tall are you?
Down here in Fort Meade.
How tall are you?
How tall?
That's why whenever he tells people to, come and beat him up, it's like, I'll let you beat me up. It's literal.
Right.
Let you. That was the correct usage of the word literal.
I thought it was light rally.
I'm saying.
Clark, I'm just curious. Are you seriously 300 some odd pounds?
Oh, well, I used to be back in junior high.
Okay. I'm just trying to get a visual on you, dude. I don't know. You're a big guy. How tall are you?
I'm 6'1". I'm 200.
Dude, I'm bigger than you.
Yeah.
Do you even lift?
I get up.
You give up? Yeah, I don't blame you. Okay,
no,
let's bring it up.
I get up. Sometimes I get out of bed.
I don't want to know what about your morning wood. Okay, we got calls.
I'm like a professional chain smoker too.
Dude, you are a really popular guy, dude. There's 16 callers here that want to talk to you.
All right, let's burn through them. Come on.
All right.
Fans are cool, but I like enemies more.
Oh, I think there's some. I think it's a mixed bag. So, hang on to your panties. Here we go. Caller, this is this person is called Not a Jew. Not a Jew. You're now.
Here's my girlfriend.
That's all you're going to do to play. He's holding his boombox up to the phone. That's terrible.
All right. Yeah, can you get Jew on the line?
Yeah, okay. Let's burn through. Okay, Hammurabi's Code, you're on with Assert and Clark. What's up?
Oh, I'm unmuted. Shocking, really.
I want to hear more about these fucking aliens.
All right, next.
Who the fuck just said next? Mr. 653-35-867-5309.
I think bigger. He's a good sized guy. That's good. 200. Yeah. 6'1".
He goes about 402.
Anyway. Okay,
18
okay.
Short of a good time.
Hey, no one's judging anybody. I have Shadow DXS and Loki call into the show, and it's all good.
My bodyguards are.
I hear Shadow's had like the worst day ever.
You know what I say?
Oh my God! You should bring him on.
You know what I say? Save a whale, harpoon a sea cow.
Right.
Okay. All right, let's get some more callers on here. Gonzo, you're on. What's up?
Good evening, Vince. How are you?
I'm doing great. This has been an interesting show. I got to learn a lot about Bradley Manning. I probably learned more from just the first, hour talking to Clark here. I learned more in that hour than I had known, you know, since it started.
That's awesome. I exercise my cheat code, which is Vince plus 90 minutes, and came in now.
And you got in. Perfect timing.
Yeah,
the board.
And I got in. It was amazing. I am sitting here in a $3,000 massage chair, getting my lower back is being masturbated by a Japanese robot. It's awesome. You'll have to forgive me if I randomly go, oh, fuck yeah. It's just awesome, Vince. I mean, I don't even know what your topic is. I don't even care what your topic is. Actually, you know what? I want to talk to Astrid MacBags.
Yeah, she's here.
I'm unmuted.
Go ahead.
It's okay.
Hey, Astrid. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Awesome. I'm great. You've got, like, 2 weeks of material in the past, like, 48 hours.
Oh, my God. Yesterday was, like, the funniest, like, two-hour period of Twitter I've ever fucking seen.
Your Storify was totally, totally bomb. By the way, how was your date last night with that guy?
God, everyone's all over my timeline. Date was good. Went to a movie.
Yeah.
I apologize, Clark. We're
the
portion of the program right now. This is the TMZ portion.
I'm all interested in hearing about my fiance's date with
some
other
dude. I'm at the edge of the seat too. Trust me.
So continue on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You saw World War Z. Was it good?
I thought it was really good. I read the book and I saw that a few years ago that Brad Pitt had bought the rights to the movie and was like, it's gonna suck. And then I saw the previews, and I was like, it's going to be even more shitty because the book is written just kind of on a totally different level than you can really put into a two-hour movie.
No,
and
I understand.
It was actually very...
What the fuck are you
kind of like... We're talking about a film, Vince. Stuff you wouldn't know about. It's called Culture.
Exactly.
Christ.
Hey, Clark, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, I put Astrid and Gonzo in the green room.
All right. Yeah, they should. Astrid, it's over. Oh, I thought we agreed that we weren't seeing other people. Okay, next. Who's next?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we got Hammy still here with us. Nigger Christ is still with us. And we're going to go now to Pony Toast. Pony Toast, what's up?
Oh, hey. Are you still there? Are you still there?
I'm totally still here.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm sorry. I got disconnected. I think the government, you know, was trying to do something, but it's okay. I put, like, another proxy up, and I'm good. But, Vince, you got to listen to me, okay? This is something that I'm putting my life on the line for, okay? You got to listen to me, all right?
All right. Go ahead, dude.
Okay. The people of the world they have the right to know, okay? This is serious. There's a lot of organizations who would do anything in their power to keep this a secret. Okay, Vince, this is serious now. Like everyone knows they've got cameras at every stoplight, and the government can keep tabs on our comings and goings. But did you know that they also have access to their databases with the Illuminati, who have been using that information to compile a list of the most frequently traveled routes and then opening new locations of their well-known chain of coffee houses in the most profitable locations? And did you also know that they are using those funds to suppress fusion of solar power?
What the fuck is an Area 51?
The Illuminati control all of the world's energy, and because they monitor all of the energy usage, okay, they can tell who is watching television and therefore who is not receiving the subliminal messages. And they keep the subliminal messages in the sheet, putting their money in banks away from their secret headquarters, a.k.a. Wyoming, as a matter of fact. And I shouldn't be talking about this, but I believe it's everybody's right to know that recycling is a myth. All they do with those bottles and cans is to collect DNA samples of your saliva so that they can clone you, and using your clone to assassinate you and assume your identity so that you can poke picking your nose and the whole global warming business.
Yeah, that all checks out.
It's completely legitimate. I have a source.
All right, DM me all the links.
Okay, I got to go. I think the government is here again.
All right. Next.
Bro, the government never left. They've been here the whole time. 347-826-7667 is the number if you want to call in and ask
Clark. If they haven't called in by now, fuck them. Next. Who's next?
Okay, Flying Fish, you're on. Flying Fish, you're on with Clark.
Hello?
What's going on? Yeah, Flying Fish, you're on.
Hello there. I wanted to talk about how, like, the media just kind of tells people what to think, and that a lot of people, they just think whatever CNN tells them. I mean, the thing about, like, the fluoride in the water, they are like, oh, it's fine, but they, you don't understand. That's why I have AIDS. I mean, this is...
Hang on a second. Are you a Jew?
Yes.
Okay, next caller. 347-826-7667 is the number. Mr. Positivity, you're on. What's up?
Oh, how you doing, Vince? I am great tonight. How are you?
I'm
doing
fantastic.
Great. How are you?
You're on with Clark.
Oh, that is so super to hear. You know, I think that, you know, there's been a lot of negativity tonight. You know, there have been a lot of trollers calling up. But, you know, Vince, a problem is just a misunderstood opportunity. And I think you need to take advantage of all these callers. And, you know, I don't mean that in a negative way, of course. You know, I would never, ever advocate taking advantage of people in a sexual manner. But I think that you need to...
Okay, I just put him in the green room with Assert and Gonzo.
Oh, man, that briefing's going to be hot. All right, moving on.
All right, moving on. Next caller, unscreened. Block caller, you're on the air. Who's this? I'm sorry.
The green room needs some music. Put him over there.
I already dumped him. Next person that calls in with music will provide it for the green room. Next caller, unscreened. You're on the air with Clark. What's up?
Oh.
Caller. Yeah, hi.
Oh.
Hello?
Oh.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, over. Caller?
I can't tell what you're saying. You're breaking up. What was that?
Oh.
Is that your troll? Your troll is the broken up call? That's your troll. Wait, who's doing that? Is that Vince Clark? Yeah. This is Vince?
Yes. Vince, is that you?
This is Vince. Who's this?
Hey, it's Andrew Flake. Hi, Clark. Hi.
Get me out there, man. What's up?
Here we go. There's somebody.
I just wanted to yell a bunch so that I could hear myself in the delay. It was pretty cool. It was like a good, like, 7-8 seconds over here.
You actually listen to this show?
You know, I figured I gotta hype myself up for the big to do in the morning. So I should pregame with a little Vince tonight so I can get
he's doing a hit to promo something for tomorrow. Just like you're doing a hit to promo the vigil.
Yeah. What you got? What's going on tomorrow, Andrew?
Really, if anything, you should be promoting your book. Come on. What are you doing on this thing?
I forgot about that. Yeah, my my agent isn't here right now, like, telling me to plug the book. But, yeah, I am making a graphic novel of the like Andrew said. And, yeah, it's going to be pretty sweet. It's through OR Books. They publish Cypherpunk.
I'm sorry, guys. 2 minutes.
2 minutes left?
No. 2 minute timeout for Assert MacFags. Who else wants some? Dan Talion wants some. I'm sorry, guys. I'm playing chat room moderator here. People are violating. This is for those of you who don't know, my show is run it's not a free speech zone. The moment you enter that chat, the moment you call in, your free speech ends. I like to liken it.
This is America. We got free speech everywhere.
No, this is not America. This is the internet, bro.
Oh, shit. Whoa, hang on. I thought that I'm living in the United States of America.
Not anymore, man.
God damn, the Mexicans came up here to Texas. They done took this shit over. I knew they ran the workforce, now the government, too. Great, now we're going to have some drug laws running our country. That's worse than Rick Perry.
First they came for our guns, and now they're coming for our free speech.
God damn, Mexicans.
It's starting with that Bin Laden, though. Let me tell you. Ever since. Fuck.
This is... Okay,
right?
People in the chat room... Okay, like I was saying, my no free speech zone, I do not want people to be posting personal information of any sort for anyone, whether it be real or not. Seriously, that's a violation.
Anyway.
What?
Whose phone number is that?
It looks like it's KY Anonymous's. I don't know. It's probably
it's from California. I think that's your phone number. Is that your phone number?
I don't know. I just saw a phone number in the chat room, and that's just not cool.
I'll call this nigga up.
I don't care if it's my phone. I don't care if it's my phone or any other phone number. It doesn't matter. All right,
who's on the line? Who's waiting?
Enough.
Talk to Andrew Blake.
Yeah, let's bring on more callers. This is insane. There's
Andrew Blake
still
on? Yeah, I'm still here. All right, just keep quiet, Andrew.
Can do.
Okay, another caller. You've been waiting about 15 minutes unscreened. You're on the air. Who's this? 614 area code. You're on.
Vince, I just bought a flashlight at a garage sale and the sign said mini fond memories. Want to help me double penetrate it? It'd be totally legit to create some memories of our own. Oh,
hey,
my.
Wait a second. Wait. Hang on. Is this Tub Guy?
Indeed, good sir.
What's up? What's up, Tub Guy? It's been a long time since I've heard from you. I'm sorry. What did you want to chime in about tonight?
Well, you know, I heard something about a WikiLeaks truck, so I was just hoping you and I could hop in the back, and the next time they search it, they could get a wonderful surprise. We turn it into the Bang Bus and tour New York City. Doesn't that sound like
David House?
I think that's pretty much what it already is used for. Am I Clark?
Hello?
Mark, are you there?
This dude totally sounds like the nerd character written for like a bad mid-90s Nickelodeon children's sitcom. At least the tone of voice and the overacting. Maybe not the language per se, but I mean, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I've known Tub Guy for a while, and I've never thought to break down his voice like that. But that's... It's quite an astute observation. Tub Guy, anything else?
Hold on, you're breaking up.
Tub Guy. Yeah, I might be Patriot Gregging. I don't know. I think I'm under cyber.
Who's that?
Hey, after Tub Guy, can we go to Tub Girl? Because that would be great.
Shut up, Andrew.
Oh,
God damn it. Go put on a goddamn furry outfit and go to a fucking fur orgy and fuck a bunch of furries, bro.
Edward Snowden just followed me on Twitter.
My tub will have no fur at all inside of it. It is a good, clean tub.
I think you fuck fur fags ass first in your bathtub, and then I think you eat the fur. I don't think you just let it, you just clean it up. You don't vacuum it. You're a disgusting motherfucker.
Okay,
you
guys,
like to shit out.
Hello? All right,
moving on. Who's next?
Yeah, we're getting off topic here. Thanks for the call, Tub Guy. Appreciate it. Let's see.
Call Tub Girl, I said hello.
Yeah, well, there actually is a Blog Talk host named Bathtub Girl, and she actually called drunk into the show the other night. Hopefully she doesn't tonight.
Hey,
all right, let's take another
call. Barrett Brown. Was Barrett Brown calling from jail?
Barrett Brown does not call the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
That
all
would
right,
be really cool if he did.
That would be awesome. That would be super awesome. Who knows? Maybe one day. We can only
And you know
pray.
Something? You know something I've always wanted to see? I've always wanted to see two chicks going at each other's asses. I mean, ass to ass. See if they can fuck each other's ass with their asses. Wouldn't that be a sight to see?
Two bitches,
big asses like Nicki Minaj and Kim Kardashian going ass to ass on each other. And them bitches, that'd be a sight to see right there. Put that shit up on HBO and make back the national debt in one night.
Okay, moving on. Caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, Vince, it's Loki.
Loki. Oh, so good to have you on the show, Loki. Welcome. You're on with Clark of WikiLeaks Truck, Nigger Christ, and Andrew Blake, and a shit ton of other people. What's on your mind?
I just came here for the Nigger Christ. That's really it. I'm a big fucking member of his church, so. Huge fan of Nigger Christ and his rip track.
Goddamn, glad to hear, man. Stay Gucci.
I don't know how to respond to that. And why do you say...
Okay, there'll be none of that. What the hell is going on?
All
right,
moving on.
Anything else, Loki? I'm doing good, Loki. It's been a fun show. It's been great having my guest here, Clark, tonight. He's been very gracious with his time, and it looks like there are a lot of people that want to say hi to him. So
want to talk to N-word Christ.
Or, yeah, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, the show...
Anwar Al-Awlaki, R.I.P.
Uh-huh.
What?
That's all I got. Okay.
All right, sweet. Thanks, Loki. Let's see. Who's this? Caller, you're on the air. Who's this? Caller, 732 area code.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Who are you?
Hey,
what's on your mind?
This is Geronimo. Geronimo.
Geronimo. Welcome
Geronimo.
To the show, Geronimo.
I want to go back on topic real quick to the
Oh,
dragon
thank God. Team. Thank you. Please.
Yeah, so, the aiding the enemy charges. So basically, nobody's really talked about the actual people involved, which Adam Gadon I keep bringing up. He was a Jewish. His name's Adam Perlman, Adam the American. He was born in California, and he's the one who they just brought him up recently in the trial because he was supposed to have read WikiLeaks tweets and I guess that Bradley Manning had provided them information. WikiLeaks tweeted some stuff, and it had to do with this Adam Gadon person said he learned information from it. But if you look at this guy's history. He grew up in California. He's this Jewish kid. His grandfather was in the ADL. I mean, I know it sounds a little far-fetched and crazy, but if you go and watch any YouTube videos of this dude, he has a made-up accent. Like, just check him out. His name's Adam Gadon. And then the other person I want you guys to check out, Samir Khan. He's the guy that started Inspire magazine. Okay, Yeah, so that dude, he's the one that got killed with Anwar Al-Awlaki in the airstrike, one of the other Americans that Obama killed in the airstrike. So he started this Inspire magazine. And so the point I'm trying to make about this guy, he was born in Saudi Arabia, but he grew up in the United States. He lived in North Carolina. Like, this guy's got a shady past, too. And basically they're blaming another thing, like aiding the enemy. They're saying Al-Qaeda got information and they published it in this Inspire magazine. For example, like the Sarnaev brothers were supposed to have read some article from this English language Inspire magazine. But if you look into the magazine, it looks like a bunch of like made up PSYOP bullshit. And I know that sounds a little far-fetched and crazy, but I promise you people, look into Samir Khan, Adam Gadon. And these are the charges where these are the people that supposedly gained information and gained knowledge from
right.
From that.
No, that's really good that you brought that up, because they were just mentioned. Well, Inspire magazine was really brought up on the 2nd of July, which was Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so was Adam. And yeah, I mean, I am very interested in any information that you have about those two people.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'll hit you up, because I've been trying to hit it. I've been trying to get people to look into this, because it's really like a huge part of the government's case. And these people are the shadiest. Like, their past, it does not add up. They're Americans. You know, they grew up in America. They got caught. You know, both of them got in trouble. You know, I think Samir Khan got in trouble for some stupid charge before. Like, Adam Gadon got in trouble for, like, assault charges. And those are the type of people, you know, how do you, you know, these FBI, you know how the FBI is always kind of
hey,
setting
Vince.
Up a bunch of charges.
Hey, Vince,
or,
why
you know,
aren't you taking out the phone?
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry, nigger.
Anyway,
Christ,
anyway,
what did you say?
Why didn't you pick up the phone, man? I tried to call you here, see what was Gucci, and you ain't picking up the phone.
So they're trying Christ, to set up I'm right here.
They're always setting up these tests.
I don't place a call. I don't call that number. I've seen 100,000 times in that chair, and you ain't picking up. What's up with that? Come on, man.
I'm doing a radio show right now, nigger.
All right, and I'm trying to call you on your tab.
All right. That's
I want, okay, so, anyway, so green room is everyone except for Blake and Geronimo and Vince and me.
And Loki. Loki's still hanging out.
I'm listening.
Yeah, I lost track a little bit, but
yeah, it's okay.
Geronimo,
I hate to rush you, but we got a few more callers we want to squeeze in, and we only have 10 minutes to go.
I've got Geronimo on the line.
Yeah, I'll keep you on the line. Is there anything you wanted to say to wrap that up?
I would just say check out Adam Gadon, Samir Khan. Look into their backstory. And,
well, I got their Wikipedia pages up right now.
Yeah. So start there, and then just think about the about half the FBI's cases that they set up, you know, are retarded pasties in America. And then try to think about that. And when people get in trouble with the FBI and they try to flip them, they both have been in trouble in the past. So these are people that maybe they flipped, maybe something like that. I don't know, but just looking at that stuff. Anyway.
Well, I think FOIA requests on both of them are in order. And you should also hit up Alexa O'Brien about this. She likes to keep a profile of every name mentioned in this trial.
Yeah, okay, so. No doubt. I'll hit you up on Twitter. And just see if you're not.
All right, cool.
Hey,
man.
Geronimo, what's your Twitter?
It's JBJabroni10. And my name's Geronimo.
Wait. Did you say
it's
Brony?
Jay.
He said Jabroni.
Jabroni.
Oh, Brony. Yeah. Okay. I got it. I know who you are now. My bad.
Yeah. I was making fun of you about Dwight Howard the other day, how you want him to come to Oakland.
You're a Jersey boy?
I don't
I'm from Jersey.
Oh, fuck yeah. Represent.
You're from Jersey? You're a dirty little...
Yeah.
I hope your state goes under so I get a beach.
Whatever. I don't
know. Sure. There's
all right,
no response to that.
Let's take more calls.
We're Jersey strong.
Here's another caller. 347 area code. You're on the air. Who's this? You know who this is? This is I Ask Candy. Decided not to talk tonight. What a bitch. Let's go to another caller who's been on hold. Caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Plus One.
Oh, sweet. I should recognize that. Hey, Plus One, how you doing?
Hey, just two things real quick. Number one, big ups to the Russell League. I was concerned that they were becoming moral fags, but last night they proved they are not by mercilessly trolling a woman who's being persecuted by the state. And number two, famed neo-Nazi Matthew Hale has released a press release from prison claiming that Glenn Greenwald is his lawyer, and talking a lot about the NSA and spying. And real quick, number three, never talk for more than 30 seconds on the radio. If you do, you're boring.
That's a good observation. That's a really good observation. All right, plus one. You want to
add me? Plus one, Geronimo, Brandy.
Yeah.
You know, FDR used to talk at length on the radio all the time, and I would think that he had very interesting things to say. After all, he was elected to four consecutive terms.
Yeah. He's the closest
that was back
thing
before TV. Come on.
He's the closest thing we had to. He was our version of Mussolini.
He was like Mussolini.
Mussolini. Okay, moving on. More callers. Go ahead, caller. You've been waiting patiently. You're on the air. Who's this? Caller from the 414 area code. You're on the air. Who's this?
Oh, hey, that's me. This is Noise 1776.
Noise 1776. Welcome
to
the show.
That's my Twitter. How you guys doing?
Good. Great. What did you want to what about?
I just want to say Snowden and Bradley Manning, they're pretty much heroes. And what are you guys going to do if they die?
Okay, who's watching the game in the background? Could you please stop that? All right. Moving on. Let's see. Caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
He can't legally drive a car, but he can hack the Gibson. He is the latest hacker, according to Teen Magazine. He enjoys fish, plundering, and long walks on the beach.
Who is Pat Sajak? Let's see. Let's see. Who's this? Caller, you're on the air. Block number. Hello.
Hey, what's up? Is this me?
Hey, what's up?
Oh, yep. Yeah, this is Mr. Victus. Anyway, I just wanted to kind of comment on this whole Bradley Manning case. And the thing is,
please.
Everybody's looking at kind of the kind of reactionary here. Really, you have to be proactive, and you have to, you know, find the root cause of this entire event. And that is, the way to prevent that is to kill the President of the United States of America.
I don't think he was joking, guys.
Could that be caller of the year?
I don't think you should be laughing, guys.
Oh, shit, motherfuckers. I was on mute that whole fucking time. My bad. You guys missed an epic, epic speech, by the way. I was going to say the views and opinions expressed on this program are not reflective of Vincent the Bay Blog Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio's staff, sponsors, or supporters. They are the views and opinions of the individuals expressing them solely. And this is, of course, a no free speech zone. I am a benevolent dictator and will shut things down if I feel deemed necessary. In fact, I'm going to now declare chat room martial law. I am now instituting chat room martial law. And I have also essentially I have muted everybody on the board. Well, except for Clark. He's my guest.
I'm here. I'm still here.
Look this up.
They have not arrested me for anything.
Your Jerry's haven't been arrested?
No. Oh my God.
Yeah, the Rusted League brings it pretty hard, dude. And you've been a champ tonight. Let's try to get a few more calls in. Let's go with this caller. You're on the air. Who's this?
Yo.
Yo.
What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, dude? You're on
I'm
with
Canada.
You're
from Canada?
From Canada,
man. Good. Yo, Free
okay.
Bradley Manning.
Free Bradley
yeah.
Manning. Right on, bro.
Yeah.
Okay, appreciate the call. Let's see. We got another. We have a blocked number. Caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, Vince. How you doing, man?
Who? What?
Everything
Who are
you? Good?
Gonzo. Try harder. Try harder, Gonzo. Caller, blocked number. You're on the air. Who's this? Hello?
All right.
Call.
And that's how you pick up a phone.
That was
oh,
Nigger
shit.
Christ. That was Nigger Christ. Let's go with this number, 424 area code. You're on the air.
It's still plus one.
I know, plus one I brought you on too, but,
oh.
Oh, wait, here. Oh, wait. Sorry, I have to press them again. Having some technical issues here. There we go. Area code 424. You're on with Clark. What's going on?
Yes, hello.
Is that Asher?
I just want to say this is absolutely it is.
Hey, what's up,
Asher? I just want to say this has been the best show you've possibly ever had. I mean, aside from the first hour, the first hour, Gonzo's rule of like 90 minutes is probably a good
no,
ballpark.
Say it. You can say it.
Don't listen to the first 60 minutes of the show. Just call in randomly afterwards.
Start
and
wherever.
And it becomes a clusterfuck, and everything falls apart, and it's totally fucking hilarious. And that's what happened tonight, and it was magical, Vince. And we should just embrace it. And I think
I want to know more about this date you had last night.
Oh, well, Vince muted me during that spiel, so you'll probably never know.
I've been saving myself for you.
Do you two want to go in the green room?
No.
Sure.
All right, we got to get more callers in here.
Whoever has to say the ass hurts, I can say to everyone.
All right, perfect.
All right.
Okay. Let's see what happens anyways, so.
We don't have any callers that have been just dying to get on still. There's no
there's
Todd probably goes
numbers.
To sleep early. I got a feeling I trolled Todd way past his bedtime.
Oh,
it's usually
God.
When I like to troll people is when they should be sleeping.
All right,
let's
see who this is. Oh,
so
you should
rude.
Talk. Like you should fucking talk. All right, caller from the 740. You're on.
Hey Vince, it's Chef Bonardie. Don't you know that you don't have to be alone tonight? Just call me.
Pick up the phone!
All right, no, I won't because I don't want to talk to you. Okay, we got to wrap it up here, kids. Let's see. Caller from the 614, you're on. Quickly, who's this?
It's Tub Guy, but I have a link that you're going to want to read really quick. And it's not sexually recorded.
No, no links. No, 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 no. We got a minute left on the show, asshole. Okay, you know what? We're gonna wrap it up here with my guest Clark. Thank you so much, Clark, for joining me. Before we sign off, is there any final thoughts you want to share with the audience? And do you want to promote anything?
Well, I'd like to promote that we need to fill the courtroom at Fort Meade because every morning the prosecution reads onto the record the attendance of both the journalists and the spectators. And that is the only way that Denise Lynn, the judge, can gauge public support. And she can't read the news. She's not supposed to pay attention to protests or anything like that. But the one thing that, you know, I see every morning is Ashton Fine, the lead prosecutor, read onto the record these numbers. And I see Bradley's face, you know, really sad when it's a low number. And last week, the numbers were pretty high up in the 30s and 40s. But people need to get their ass.
Oh, sorry about that. My bad.
That's all right.
That, I, Anyway, that's like the we got to wrap it up soon. Music.
All right.
But seriously.
Yeah. Essentially, people just need to show up because Bradley's facing life, and you may never get a chance to see him again. So, you gotta get there.
And that's going to be
you
for
play
another.
Should play that Flobot song about Bradley.
Oh, absolutely. That's ready to go. Thanks again so much, Clark.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nigger Christ, Gonzo, PhD, Hammurabi's Code, Loki, Geronimo, Plus One, Asshurt, and AP Blake and everybody else that called in. Sorry we couldn't get to everybody, but this was just fucking benoodles, man. I wasn't expecting such a hardcore turnout of callers, and I'm glad you stuck it out through the whole thing, Clark. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Right on. Okay.
Night.
And once again, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's twitter.com/VinceOfTheBay. Until next time, peace out, everybody. And I'm going to leave you with this song by the Flobots and it's entitled Bradley Manning.
Thank you, very nice.